Good morning. Last week we began discussing practical advice. If you set out to rob a bank with an accomplice, what is the best way, al pi halacha, to set up this partnership? So the first bit of advice that we discussed was, if you have a choice between what task you're going to do, you should volunteer to drive the getaway car. And the reason for that is, if the two people go, if the other fellow goes ahead and he's the one that actually breaks into the bank, he's the one that picks up the money. The moment he does hagbah in the bank, he now becomes a goslin. He then brings it out of the bank into your car. Since the gzeila has already been completed, although you're helping him, you're driving the getaway car, he is the goslin and he is the one that is responsible to repay the bank. Now, an additional piece of advice is that when you're getting paid for driving the getaway car, make a point of insisting on getting paid in cash. In other words, do not take a portion of the loot. And the reason for that is very simple. Even though that fellow was the ganav, he picked up the loot and brought it out of the bank, he's already a ganav, he owes it back to the bank. If he takes half of it and gives it to you, so although you may not be a ganav, because it was already stolen, you're just receiving payment from a ganav, nevertheless, if you're getting it before yish, this money still belongs to the victim. There was no yish, there was shin rishos, no yish. So therefore, although you're not a ganav, at that point you became a shomer aveda. And as a shomer aveda, you have a responsibility to return this money to the bank. If you insist on getting paid in a different form of payment, the ganav does not actually give you a chedek of the stolen goods. He goes ahead, he pays you from other money. In that case, you would be able to keep the money even if the ganav gets caught. Now, as an additional side benefit, if you're going into this kind of business, there's another halacha you can take advantage of. And that is, say you have these two people that go ahead, they rob a bank, b'shutvis, and then the ganav goes ahead and gives the money over to the driver, gives it to his partner. Although they say there's honor among thieves, what happens if shutif B, the driver, doesn't want to return the stolen goods to the ganav? Can the ganav say, wait a second, we had a deal. The deal was 50-50. I'm doing part of the work, you're doing the other. We're going to split the loot. Or can the driver say, no, it's true the deal was 50-50. But today, now that I happen to be typhus, I happen to be holding on to the entire stash, who says I'm mechuyiv to give part of it back to you? So if you hear the Chavis Yor says, ein achanami. If you have two people who steal b'shutfis, and certainly in this case, if one of the ganavim ends up with all of the loot, although they had an agreement beforehand that they're going to be partners, this agreement is not enforceable. Ultimately, this loot does not belong to either of them, but belongs to the victim, and therefore certainly one ganav does not have a claim against the other ganav that, hey, you took more than what you're entitled to, give me back my share. One of the Toyanim actually says over a story where apparently the mafia had a bit of an internal disagreement over who's entitled to what money is on a certain job. Now, they couldn't actually litigate this in court for fairly obvious reasons, so they didn't know how to settle it. You know, I guess they didn't want to kill anyone at that point. So what they ended up doing is they hired a Toyan to hear the case and to paskin. Now, I don't know if this is the kind of case you should be looking to take. This is probably like, you know, the Megillah, where Chacham Yodei Itim, there are certain questions that are best off left unanswered. But I'll call upon him, the Chavis Yor says that in such a case where you're dealing with stolen goods, regardless of the deal they had it in beforehand, then no one has any claim against it, and whoever has it would be able to keep it. Chavis Yor then adds an even bigger chiddush. If you have two people who steal together, and one of them gets caught, and he is forced to repay the entire amount that was stolen, and we'll discuss that in halacha, how that works in a moment. He says, the question was, can he go over to his partner and say, listen, we stole the money, we split the loot, 50-50. Now that I got caught, I had to pay it back. I want you to indemnify me. I want you to reimburse me for the loss that I had, for the fact that I had to repay the stolen goods. So over here also, the Chavos Yoreh says, nothing doing. Ganavim do not have a responsibility to each other, and therefore, whoever gets caught, whoever ends up paying, he is the one that will end up suffering the loss. His partner, who's holding on to the money, does not have to repay him and will end up profiting. If you make a, the Chavos Yoreh says that if you make a partnership agreement, if you have a shtar, if you have a schaivus, that will work. And he, although, I mean, Tzemach Tzedek points out, it doesn't change your obligations to the victim, but if you make internally an agreement that if one of us gets caught, the other one will indemnify him, such a hischaivos will be effective, and you would have to pay. But again, that is not typically ganavim who had that kind of sophistication and foresight generally find other ways to make a living. So that seems to be Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What Tosfos says, and most of the Achronim follow Tosfos, is that it's wonderful to have Schia and Shlichos when you go to the store and buy a bottle of milk. However, Gzeilo, which is Be'isser, Ein Shlichos and Devar Veira, we don't say Migu Dezachle and Avshe Zachle Lechavre, and therefore a Gazlin cannot be a Shliach for his buddy or partner in crime. Whoever picks it up, he's the one that's doing the gzeila, and he's the one that's going to be responsible. It's ein shliach l'dvar avera. Zechiyah needs shlichus. So there is, again, Rashi holds, migu gezachin avshe zachin l'chavre is better. You don't need the regular case of zachin. Tosfos says the only case you can have where shluchim, where ganovim, are collectively responsible, where it's a shutzvis, is when they both pick it up at the same time. Which... No, it's not. Chavos Yoreh's case is, like, we'll get to the chiyuv. I said we'll get to that in a moment when they are responsible for each other or not. We'll get to that in a moment. Chavos Yoreh's point is that regardless of the case, even if for some reason they're each liable to the victim for whatever the reason is, to each other, there's no arvus, there's no chiyuvim to indemnify each other. It's not a regular halva, and therefore whoever gets caught, whoever has to pay, is the one that gets stuck holding the bag. Excellent. So what happens if they actually both pick it up at the same time? The common case would be is it's a heavy item. Neither of them can carry it out on their own. So together they both pick up the safe. Together, collectively, they bring it out of the reshus and they steal. So you have a case of shutfim that steal. And the question is that it's pasha that each one's responsible for half. However, what happens if we only catch one of the ganavim? Can we make him liable to pay the entire amount? Or can you say, listen, I'm a partner. I stole it with my buddy. I'll pay you half. You want the other half? Go after him.
So you take it a step further. And if you say he has to pay all, the other one still has to keep him a shovel.
Okay, wait, hold on. One at a time. Let's first figure out the halacha, and then we'll deal with. So here we have, unsurprisingly, a three-way machlokes. The Chavos Yoreh says this is a case of shutfus. He compares it to what happens if two people are mazik someone. Two people collected, there's someone walking by a bar, two people push him in. So those two people, anytime a hezek is caused by two people together. So in Simin Taf Yud, Sif Lamed Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch brings down two shitas. The first shita says, it's Mlekulish Tamluim Lahayim Shtalim Mehai, that if they're both here, each pays half. Because they did this damage collectively, they did it together. So Maker Hadin each pays for 50%. However, if one skips town, or if one of them simply doesn't have the funds available, you can't collect from him for any reason. So Mechaber first says that the partner is responsible, and if you can't collect from both of them, whoever you catch, whoever has the money, you can go after him for the full amount. However, the Ramah then brings down Yesh Oimrim, not like that. Yesh Oimrim, that if in a case where, since each of them is responsible for half, the fact that you can't catch one of them, or you can't be Moitzi Mammon from him, that does not make the other person more liable. And therefore, the Ramah says, B'Shem Yesh Oimrim, and this seems to be the Ikar L'Halacha, that you can only go after each person for half. And even if you won't be able to collect the other half, that's the victim's problem. It doesn't make the Mazik, who is only really responsible for half of the damage, it doesn't make him liable for more than the 50% that he caused. Therefore, the Chavis Yair's conclusion is, even when they both picked it up at the same time, so you can go after each one of them for half, but if you, for any reason, you can't collect it from one of them because he's not around or because he simply doesn't have the money to pay, then the victim will suffer the loss. You cannot force the ganav who's in front of you to pay the entire amount. Now, this is the shita of the Chavis Yair. The Shvus Yaakov argues. Shvus Yaakov says, the halacha is, what happens if two partners come together and they borrow money? They borrow $10,000. Comes time to repay. One partner says, okay, here is $5,000 for my share. You want the other $5,000? Go after my partner. The halacha is nothing doing. The halacha is, when you have partners borrow, they automatically become arevim zeh lazeh. They're each responsible for their share and for their partner's share. And if their partner doesn't default, then they are responsible to make up the difference to pay the entire amount. Zogdor Shavuz Yaakov, in a case of a mazik, where you're going ahead, you just push someone, you cause damage. So there we have a machlekes, whether they become responsible for each other or not. However, in a case where they're stealing, just like when they borrow money, where they're taking it for their benefit, he says, automatically become arevim zeh lazeh, they're responsible for each other's share. So hu hadin, when they steal b'shotvis, they're the victim, they're arevim zeh lazeh, and if one ganav skips town, you can go after the other one for the entire amount. This is the shita of the Shvus Yaakov. On the other hand, the Teres Tzvi and the Tzemach Tzedek argue and say the exact opposite. They say, when you borrow money b'shotvis, why are you responsible for your partner's share? Because it's understood. You're borrowing it collectively. You didn't go to the fellow and say, I want to borrow $5,000, and he wants to borrow $5,000. You borrowed it together. So when you borrow it together, it's understood. You're borrowing it together. You're going to pay it back together. And you're taking collective responsibility to make sure the entire amount gets repaid. When a guy robs a bank with a partner, do you think there is an implied arvus that I'm going to take responsible for my partner, the ganav? Obviously not. When you robbed the bank, you had no intention of paying anything back. Certainly, you didn't want to pay. You weren't planning on getting caught. You weren't planning on paying your share. And you certainly had no intention to take responsibility for your partner's share. So in a case like this, where there's no intention of paying back, there's no contract or meeting of the minds between the parties, Zok the Temach Tzedek, it does not make any sense to say there's an implied arvus, and therefore each person is only responsible for the share that he actually takes out. So lahalacha, it's very hard to be mechayev someone for his partner's share. So what will come out is like this. If there's something heavy, there's a vault, and they both pick the vault up together and they carry it out, so then they are shutfim shagazlim. And if you catch any given one of them, he's only responsible to pay for the half of the goods, half of the item, the part that he's responsible for. Masha ein kein, if they break into the bank, they each walk out with a sack full of money. So then the halacha would be interesting. The halacha would be each person is responsible for whatever was in his sack. And if one of them had more money than the other, whatever it is in the bag that you picked up, that you took out, that is what you'd be responsible for and nothing else. Anything else is your partner's share and he would have to go after him. To briefly recap, if they pick up something together, b'shotvis, the Chavis Yair says, so certainly each one's responsible for half. The Chavis Yair says, as far as making responsible for the other share, that depends on the machlokes by mazik and there's a kimli. The Shvus Yaakov says, no, since there's a benefit, it's like partners, and therefore each one is responsible for the other, for his partner's share, while the Tzemach Tzedek takes the other extreme and says, here there's certainly no arvus, and therefore he says each one's only responsible for the chelik that he took. He says, again, at least it's not better than the case of mazik. Now, if you have a case where, let's go back to our getaway car for a moment. The fellow breaks in. He's busy taking out the stuff, and suddenly you hear on your police scanner that the police are just a few blocks away. So you run in, and you help him carry the stuff out. So in that case, even if the ganav already picked up the items, he already did hagbah, he already became a ganav. However, if it's still in the bank, and he needs your assistance to get it out of the bank. So there we saw last week from the Rosh, from the Mordechai, different Marim Makoymas, that in that case, since you helped him take it out of the Roshos of the Nignav, and without your help, it still would have been there, even though the Maisa Gneva was already done, still you are also going to be a Ganev, and in that case, you're going to be responsible as well. Now, in these cases where he took it, where you actually took it out, you'll be responsible for the entire amount, not just that, because you're the one that helped that took it out, and without your actions, it still would have been in the bank, and therefore you have a complete achrayus, not just a chelik of the achrayus. Now, what happens if you're the one that breaks into the bank? But you're the one that you disarm the alarm, you smash into the vault. But the other fellow is the one that actually comes and picks up the money and walks out. So who's responsible for what? So over here we have there's a tshuva from the Trumas Hadeshen that has a case where two people got into a fight. So to get even with the fellow who he was fighting with, and he was an Erel Chayid, he wasn't going to be mazik, he wasn't going to steal anything. But he knew that this fellow had, there was a secret tunnel that led into his vault. So he went ahead and he let this information slip. There was a local ganav in town. So he let the fellow know that there is this vault, there's this tunnel, and there's a way to get into the bank without getting caught. Sure enough, the next day, the bank, this business gets robbed, everything gets cleaned out, someone entered through the vault, through this tunnel. And the question was whether you're responsible for giving over this information. So the Trumas Hadeshet in Siman Shin Tes Vav says no. He says that this is a question of grama. Well, it's certainly not a good thing to do. It's certainly usur. However, are you a ganav? Did you steal the money? No, you didn't steal the money. You just enabled a ganav to go ahead and do the theft. So while grama bin Izakin is certainly usur, and there's perhaps a chiyuv latzis de shemayim. However, since you are not directly involved in the gzeila, there you are not going to be chayiv b'dinei adam. Now, this is a bit of a problem, because for those that remember, we went through Hilchos Mesira, that if you're moiser mamon l'yisrael liyad akam, if you tell a goy in anos where a yid's money is and he goes ahead and takes it, there you're responsible. There it's garmi. The moment you tell him, it's as if it's gone because you know for sure the moiser, the goy, is going to take away the money. And there it's a garmi. What's the difference? So the Trumas Hadeshen explains the difference is that in the case of moiser, you're giving it to a goy, you're giving it to an anos, where there's a chazaka, he's going to take it. They are giving this information, that is the equivalent of destroying the item, it's garmi, you're responsible to pay. On the other hand, letting a ganiv know how to break into a house, although he's a ganav mefursim, he's a known ganav. However, even known ganavim don't always steal. They have other places that they'll go. It is not mucha, it is not bari hezekah. So even though it's likely, because it is not for sure that he will take it, therefore it's only a grama, it's not garmi, and you're going to be off the hook. Now, if that's the case, yesh ladan, that if you make up with your buddy, you're going to break up into the bank together. And you drive one late at night, you drive together and you're together and you go ahead, you break the lock while he's there on his way in. There it's very mistavra that is more doing to a case of moiser. There's no question he's here, he came here in order to break into the bank. And certainly once he's in and now you're blowing up the vault, he's certainly gonna go ahead, he's not gonna change his mind and do tshuva now and walk out. So in that case it is probably bari hezekah, and therefore, even though you're not a gazlin, you can probably be mechayev the person al tagarmi, al the din of moiser, and therefore you'll have to pay regardless. It will be a different parasha. It won't be gezel. It will be it'll be a case of mazik.
So if there are partners taking out safe together, and when one gets caught, you could be tied to the whole thing that it wasn't moiser fly. If he tells his friend, then his friend's going to have to pay half also. So there's a lot of moiser fly you can't tell.
Well, Meister is if you're dealing with a goyish government that the halachos of Mesira will apply, and that's when yes, when no. That we went through by Rikhus when we discussed those during those shiurim. But assuming it's a case of Meister where two people are partners in crime, one gets caught, so to save his skin, he wants to snitch on his partner. That's Meister. Because when you committed a crime, you got caught. What's being done to you, your punishment you're getting is well deserved. So to try to save yourself by getting your partner into trouble is straight out masira. So in cases, you know, again, we discussed the arichas in details back then. In cases where you did nothing wrong, and someone else is causing the government to go after you, they forged your name, and you want to clear yourself, but the other person will get into trouble, that perhaps is okay because that person's the raidif. He's the one that got. But in a case where you willingly took this risk upon yourself with your partner, and you're the one that got caught, and to save yourself, you want to sell him down the river, that's matzal atzmoi benefesh chavera, and that would be straight masira. So if you're going to, if you're going to commit a crime with someone, then that is a risk that you're taking. I dealt with two brothers who were partners in crime on many different levels. One of them was the brains behind the operation. The other one wasn't quite as bright, and he was like the front. So the brother who was the brains behind the operation always made a point of having his brother sign all the documents and all the papers. So if and when the shoe finally drops and they get caught, the one brother will get into trouble. The other one will, deny knowing him and probably get away scot-free. But if after being caught, the one that knew that he was doing something wrong tries to save himself by being malshin on his partner, that would be masir. The difference is whether it's a ganav or an anos. Ganovim are not nice people, and they steal things. But a regular ganav Yisrael, there's always a possibility he may do tshuva, and there's always a possibility that he won't go in because he'll be afraid that he'll get caught in this particular place. Moiser is dealing with an anos. You're dealing with a bunch of crusaders running around. They hear there's money there. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. It's michli kali. It's gone. So it's a question of bari hazeka. How certain is it that damage will result because of this information that's being revealed? There can be many other reasons. Shmuel Hadeshin's point is just because he's a ganav doesn't mean if he finds out information that it's bari hazeka, it certainly will be stolen. And once there's any doubt, now it's not bari hazeka. So even though it's certainly usur, but you can't be mechayev the person to pay b'dinei adam. Okay, so these are the general halachos when you are collectively robbing a bank. You're doing it b'shutvis. I think the bottom line is that if you're going to rob a bank, you are probably best off doing it yourself, involving partners. What? Involving partners greatly complicates matters, and very often, again, you may be liable for your partner's mistakes. Have we fallen that far that this needs a disclaimer? Okay, I guess I think they do post it online, and online they'll cut and paste, who knows. So yes, let me be very clear. We are not advocating people robbing banks, whether it's b'shotvis, whether it's alone. Not a good idea. Let's change the case slightly. And that is, what happens if fellow tells you, do me a favor, it's in shul, do me a favor, I left my hat in shul, can you bring it to me? And you bring it to him. And sure enough, you find out the next day that it wasn't his hat. He needed a nice hat. He was afraid to go ahead and steal it. He knew there was a video camera, so he just asked someone for some help. Can you do me a favor, just bring me the hat I left in the coat room? It's the third one against the wall, and just... this is a nice way to get someone to do your dirty work for you and to steal the hat for you. Who is responsible for this ganeva?
So he tricked you with intent.
Correct. His intent was to have you. He tricked you into stealing it, and you unwittingly were a ganev. So here we have to deal with two separate questions. We have to deal with the liability of the shliach, of the mule, if you will, the person who stole unwillingly. And then we have to deal with the liability of the mishaleach, the brains behind the operation that is the one that tricked you into doing this. So let's deal with the shliach first. Is a shliach, if someone steals by mistake, is he responsible for what he did or not? So if anybody remembers when in Hilchos Mazik, what is the halacha if you accidentally, by mistake, go ahead and smash someone's window? Do you have to pay or not? Halacha is yes. Why? It was a mistake. Adam u'loilam. A person who is responsible for his actions, whether it was b'shoyeg, they've been mazed. And oynis gomer, we saw as pater, oynis kain, geneva, was a machloikis. But if it's done b'shoyeg, you're still responsible for your actions. If so, it would seem that if you stole the hat, although it was a shoygig, you would have a din of a gazlan. However, Zaktuk Tzois, the Nesivus, and Mavur and the Shach, and it's Meduyik and a number of Rishonim, that this is not true. Adumur lo'elom is a chiddush. The Gemara Davishin's Petzah Tachas, we have a special drosha that even though it was a mistake, you're still responsible for what you did. Zaktuk Tzois and Simon Chavei, that's in Hilchas Mazik. You smash someone's window, even though it was a shoygig, you're still liable to pay. However, in Hilchos Geneva, there's no such pasuk. There's no such drasha. And therefore, in the absence of a drasha, a person's only responsible if he does it b'mezid. And therefore, Zakhtuk Tzois and many others, that a ganiv b'shoygig does not have the din of a ganiv. Now, certainly, if you still have the item, you have to return it. But if it was nenas, if it's gone, we cannot be mechayiv you altganiv because it was a shaygig, it was a mistake. Now this can happen, a common case is you go to a store, you take your three-year-old child, while you're not looking, the child takes some nash, and somehow manages to slip it into the shopping cart, you walk out without paying. So technically speaking, who's the ganiv? You're the ganiv. You took the item, and you walked out of the store without paying. That's a maisa ganeva. Nevertheless, because it is a shaygig, you weren't aware how sly your three-year-old child was and what he managed to slip into the shopping cart. So that is a case of a gzeilu b'shoigig, which the nesivus, the ktzais, they all say that you don't have the din of a ganav. What about the mishaleach? What about the fellow who sent you? L'chayr, he's the one that set you up. He should be responsible. However, we have a rule. Ein shleach l'dvar aveira. You want a shliach to do something for you, shliach shaladim kemoisai. But if you have someone, you hand someone a gun and say, go bump off this fellow, halacha is, ain't shliach ledvar there. But there's no shlichus when you're dealing with an isser. So if im kain, it should come out that the mishaleach is not a gazlan either. Because the maista gzela was done by the shliach and not the mishaleach. Good. So even if you're going to say that he's potter because of shoygig, let's say if you hand someone a gun, go kill him and for b'shoygig, whatever the reason, whatever the case is, the ma'aser you are telling him to do an avera, and the halacha is ein shleach l'dvar avera. Oh, very good, very good. So this is a machlokes rishonim, machlokes taisvis, and Muki Yosef. What taisvis says and halacha many places can do follow this, although there are some chokim, they say that no. The halacha of ein shleach l'dvar avera is when the shliach knows it's an avera and he does it anyway. If the shliach knows it's an aveira, then he's responsible for his actions. It doesn't go to the mishaleach. However, when the shliach has no idea that what he's doing is aser, he thinks he's just doing you a chesed, he's bringing you your hat. So in that case, there's no argument of divrei arav, divrei atam, divrei mishaimin. The shliach will certainly do it because he's not aware there's anything wrong with it. Therefore, many poskim say that this is an exception to the rule of ein shliach l'dvar aveira, and the mishaleach would be responsible. Yes, if it's be'en, it makes no difference. If it's be'en, it certainly goes back to the owner. The nafkamina is one of two things. First of all, what happens if the owner is miyayish before the mishleach gets it? And secondly, what happens if while the shliach has it, it gets lost or gets destroyed? So if you hold yesh l'chus l'dvar v'era, the moment the shliach picked it up, the mishleach is a gazlan. The mishleach is a gazlan. Even if it gets lost or destroyed, he's responsible for einzin. How Masha Enkin, if you learn that he's not, there's no shlichus, then when he gets it, he'll be responsible, he'll be shomer aved, he'll be ben. But until he gets it, he has no liability. And he can say, you know, you can't come after me. So what comes out is that the mishaleach will likely be responsible because we do not say in shlichus levar aveiro when the shliach had no idea. The shliach, on the other hand, will not be a god of according to most paiskim because it was a gneva b'shoigik. But this leads us, and Nesivus makes a fascinating point. We said that a person is a mazik b'shogeg, what's the halacha? Are you responsible or not if you're damaged by a mistake? Yes. Adamur lo elam, you have to pay for your damage. If a person steals by a mistake, is he responsible? We're saying no. A god of b'shogeg is potter. What happens in our case? Someone sends you to go bring me that hat, which is mine. You pick up the hat. At that point, you're a god of b'shogeg. Are you responsible? No, you're gonna be shaykh. But then, what do? You go outside, and you hand the hat to who? To a ganav. The moment you take this item and you give it to a ganav, who is out of here, you're never gonna see him again. So why aren't you considered a mazik? By handing it to a person who is a crook, who is certainly not going to return it, the nesiva says you can be mechayev him al tamazik. So we have to differentiate. Taking it, he says, "Ena chanami, I agree. That's a ganav v'shogeg. You're not responsible." But turning it over to a ganav, someone who's going ahead and doing this to steal, who certainly will not give it to the bialim, he says, "Forget about hilchos ganeva. That itself is a form of hezek."
You didn't know he was a ganav.
So it's a shogeg.
So it's the same thing as picking it up out of the shul.
That's true, but we're saying like this: there's a difference between a mazik v'shogeg and a gazlin v'shogeg. Picking it up in the shul. No damage was done. All you did is, the problem is you did hagbah, you're perhaps a ganav b'shogeg. Ganav b'shogeg is pater. But taking an item and giving it to a meiser, giving it to a ganav, who's never going to return it again, that's an act of hezek. You're destroying the item, not physically, but you're destroying it you're making it impossible for the owner to recover this item. And therefore, the nesiva says, that is a meis of mazik, a mazik b'shogeg is going to be chayiv. Not a good way to think. A good chance we can talk about the Trumas Hadesha and maybe he'll do this. This person, he's a guy. He's the whole action here is he's doing a Gneva. Correct. Correct. So let's go back to our case. There's a Ganev standing there. I hand something to a Ganev. I help him steal it. Without my help, he couldn't have stolen it. Well, if he grabbed it out of your hand, then you're not a mazik. But if you put it into his rishus, the nesiva says this is a ma'aseh hezek. Now, in some cases, you might argue there's an oinus gomer, but in this case, it is yitachin that you'd be chayiv al tmazik. Wait, slow down, slow down. Giving a ride is not the same. Because you never had the item. Wait. The item was added, it was not in the resource of the bank. You never took it into your possession. You just drove him. Mashiach, if he would give it to you, can you watch this for me? And now... Wait a second. Can you watch it for me? Wait a second. And now he disappears. Now he's gone. You then take this item and return it to him. When you return it to him, we have to deal with a mazik b'shogeg. Now, there are some cases where it will be an oinus. If it's a case of an oinus, where you have every right to assume he's an erlich yid and it belongs to him, mazik ba'oinus is also going to be pater. The issue is whether when it's a case of a shoyig, where you should have been somewhat suspicious. Why is this person asking me to bring the hat? It's still a shoyig. It's not a pshia, but it doesn't lie to a level of oinus. Now again, which cases will be an oinus and which cases is shoygeg, that will depend on the case. You'll have to deal with it then. But conceptually, what comes out is a mazik b'shoygeg is responsible. A mazik b'oinus is potter. But so you will have cases where even though in al-dzgzeil it'll be a shoygeg, you're potter, but on the mazik end, you're going to be responsible because hezek is easier to be liable than it is to have a ganav. Okay, again. Any given case where it's a pshia, shogeg, or oinus, when it comes up, we'll deal with it. We'll fight about the particular circumstances. That depends on the facts of the case. The point is that the chiddush here is that you can have an action where by taking it, you're a ganav b'shogeg, you have no liability, giving it away, even if it's a shogeg, you're going to be responsible. Now, whether it's a shogeg, oinus, or pshia, each case will depend. Let me just, one last case on this point. This is a tshuva for the Imre Yosher. Meyosha has it's a chiddush, but this is what he says. A person came home one day, and he saw a box of soirim, of food, and And he went ahead, he fed it to his animal. It turns out that this Sa'irim did not belong to him. It belonged to a neighbor that had deposited it in his house. Yes, he asked permission from his wife. He got permission to put it there. And the Baal Bayis unwittingly fed it to his animal. Is the Baal Bayis responsible to pay or not?
UPS made a wrong delivery without a name to the next door neighbor.
Okay, so that might be different, but similar case. What is the liability? Now, everyone agrees that what you benefited, you certainly have to pay. Now, if you gave the animal, you didn't have to feed your animal supper that night because you used this food. You certainly have to pay. The question here was, this was grade A, high quality Sa'irim. This is the kind of this is expensive goods that you generally don't feed to an animal. You use it for people. And the question is, is the Baal Bayis responsible to pay the difference? Zimri Yeshu starts with Arish Shmuz. He says, L'chor, you're a ganev. Ganev b'shoigig is pater. And he says, wait a second. Is this a case of geneva b'shoigig? Or is this a case of mazik b'shoigig? What did you do? Did you take it for yourself? You fed it to the animal. Feeding it to the animal, he says, normally if I take your good item and I feed it to an animal, that is a case of mazik. Case of mazik, adamur lo'ilam, he says, l'chor, you'd be responsible even if it is a shoigig. Then the Mi'yosha continues and says no. He says a chiddush, he says it just as a svara, he doesn't bring a raya to it. He says that feeding something to an animal, he says, is not a ma'isa hezek. Ma'isa hezek is, you take a brick, you smash a window. You're destroying something. You're destroying something that's a ma'isa hezek. There you go with the gedorim of hezek. Zog the Imre Yosher, feeding something to an animal, which is the normal use of Sa'irim, it's normal use of food, or at least what it seemed to be. He says that's not called being mazik the item. That's called using it for yourself. A gazlin is someone who takes it for himself to use. A mazik is someone that just destroys it without taking it for himself. Taking it and feeding it to your animal, although certainly it will get used up, but it's in its essence, because what you're doing is you're taking it and using it for yourself, that's a ma'isa gazela. And therefore, he says, we go with the gedorim of gazela, which gazela b'shayig is pater, and says, and therefore, in this case, you wouldn't be liable.
But when I had the guy that had, that wasn't the
mazik
either.
Oh, so in Re'yosher, yesh lodo, in how far to take this, exactly. The Re'yosher's chiddush is that even though, by doing this, it's getting destroyed, but we don't look at this as a ma'isa hezek. We look at it as a ma'isa of using it, of taking it for yourself. So then many cases, according to the Me'yosher, the halacha will be different. It's hard to know exactly how far to take it, but this is the chiddush of the Me'yosher. Then he continues and says that really the shmuz is not really nageh. He says, even if it's a mazik, you'd be pater. Because he says, the whole discussion is, if I send you into his house or into the coat room to pick up a hat, so there, you're at best a shoigig that you didn't realize you're being used to perpetrate a geneva. However, if it's in your house, you have there he says that's an oinus gomer. You come home, you open the refrigerator, you have something to eat. And then your wife tells you that, no, this is a neighbor's thing that they left by us. There's a chazaka that if it's in your house, you can assume it's yours. The person had no way of realizing that it was someone else left Sa'irim in his house. He says that rises to a level of oinus gomer, and even by mazik, you're going to be responsible. Now, again, obviously it depends on the case. If he should have realized, I never have Sa'irim, how did this appear, that'll be different. But a typical case where you don't know how well-stocked your stable is, and you come in, and there's a thing of Sa'irim in a stable, and then you feed it. He says that's an oinus, and even out mazik, you're going to be potter. You only pay mashanene. Masha'enkein, going back to your case, if UPS delivers the wrong item, and you know good and well you never ordered this, and it shows up, you can't call that an oinus. You probably can't even call that a shoigig. That would more likely be a case of mazik. Now, in that, the complication that you'll have is, who are you stealing from? Your next door neighbor, or from Amazon, whoever it was that shipped it to you. Okay? And that's something that we'll have to discuss in a future shiur.